Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is.
Ministries. You know, it is such an honor, and I do count it honor. I was just reading Job today, and we have to be accountable for the things we do and give God praise and give Him glory for the things that He has done. And just self-checking, self-analyzing, self-effacing, knowing that we are here for a purpose, and are we fulfilling the purpose for which God has called us to do and to be? And so many times we're saying, well, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? it's really not as difficult as one might think it is. Basically, it's pretty simplistic. God wouldn't make an entity a business and not let the business know what the product is. But it says, search the scriptures, for in them you have life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are so awesome. The way you work, your strategic planning is just, it's an amazement to us as human beings who think we have logic and cognitivity, but nothing compares. You say your thoughts are so high in your ways, above our ways. So we have to stay in a humble posture so that we can hear from you and not be full of ourselves, but full of you and full of your spirit. And we thank you for this opportunity. Let the words of my mouth and everything be acceptable. And I say, let them know with power and anointing, rebuking the adversary and any entity that might come against, Lord, those that are listening. In the name of Jesus, we thank you through the power of the bloodshed of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God is, he's such an amazing God. I'm loving our series this year, and it is Thy Will on Earth as It Is in Heaven in 2017. And I used the Lord's Prayer as our scripture for the year, and January was Our Father. And this year, this month, rather, in February, which is the last month, it's in heaven. So our subject is use God's heavenly host. Use God's heavenly host. We're on assignment here, but we're not on it alone, and we're not on it without help. You ask God's heavenly host, which are the angels that are assigned to help you, that are assigned to bless you. If, well, first of all, if you believe. But I'm telling you, when I'm having meetings, I'm going into rooms, I'm charging my angels to go in, clear the atmosphere, usher in the presence of God, and anoint me so that when I come in, his presence comes in with me. And that's what you want, is a representation that we are to represent God. We are his representation here on earth. First of all, that is our first purposefulness. And generally when I ask a person, you know, what do you want the Lord to do? When are you, what is your purpose? What those kind of questions, they're usually corporate answers. Well, I just, something that everyone would say. I just, you know, want to be holy. I just want the Lord, you know. I'm like, okay, that's great. That's a requirement of everyone. But what is specific? Get specific and detail with God. You do have a mind. You do have thoughts. You do have desires. But don't be afraid with the desires and what you might be feeling, because guess what? God is the one that put those desires in you, because he made you. And he wants you to go after those thoughts, those little things that if you were to mention them to the general public, they don't seem to make much sense. They're like, oh, that seems to be out there. Well, no. We are to be globally effective. Globally effective. I'm attending a conference now, and I'm doing this on location. That's why I'm a day late, because I've been in conference. So this is my first free time to do this presentation for you. But I mean, the people here from all over the world, and their desire is to be globally effective. And the things that they're doing and proposing, oh, it's not just an idea. They're here to make sure it becomes reality, and that in a quick, fast mansion matter. Now, so what I've discovered for myself being here, pull up your bootstraps and get them moving. And I was, this is my third time attending this conference, and I thought, well, I've been here before, so I have some things in line that I need to have put together before I go, and maybe it's not going to be as purposeful for me to be here. Let me tell you something. Nothing will happen for you in your house and at home until you get out and find what God has ushered in people's hearts and minds and on your behalf. And I asked the Lord, I said, well, I do believe it's your will for me to be here. I said, so I want to see your miracle working power. Send my angel, send my heavenly host help me to be an atmosphere changer just because I'm there. And God, I'm telling you, he'll do abundantly more than you can ever ask or think, because that is how God rolls. He rolls in abundance, and he wants to charge us. He says, ask me something great. I'm your God. I'm your Lord of Lords. Ask me something great and watch me work. He says, is there anything that's too hard for God? That's what he wants to know. Can you believe me for anything? Do you believe me for anything? You know, I specialize in the impossible. So I've had some incredible, what I would deem to be impossible results that have just brought me to tears and worship while I was in consultation. It was like God had downloaded in this person everything, itemizing, strategizing, and they're spiritually oriented. And I know God did that, and he did it just for me. But had I stayed home, I'd have missed the mark of my globalness. Absolutely. It's so defined now, so succinct. It's like, oh my Lord. You have to get out there, and then you begin to find your purposefulness. He doesn't just give it to you in an envelope and a letter. He says, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But he says, search me. Search the scriptures, for in them you have life. The more you search the scriptures, the more that you read, the more you'll hear the voice of the Lord, the more you hear his direction. He says, my sheep know my voice. You either know his voice. Well, God doesn't really talk to me. I don't really hear his voice. Yes, you do. It's that thing where you say, well, something told me. More people call God something. Well, he's that something great. Don't be afraid to identify the reason why we do that. Because once you tell somebody, well, you know, the Lord said, they're like, God talked to you. Well, God talked to all his children. If you spend time enough with him to recognize his voice, why wouldn't he? But the average person doesn't do that. So when you say it, it sounds like, oh, that's a phenomenon. That doesn't make sense. You must be a little strange. So God talks to you. I even had someone say once to me. And I'll give you a little scenario. Okay, I was performing with a symphony. And God told me that day, and I was the first African-American to do so and performing besides the classical literature, German, French, and Italian. I was performing one of my compositions, and I had orchestrated it for the orchestra because I was the composer. So the conductor, I found out later, had told the symphony, well, she wrote this and she orchestrated, so don't be surprised if it's riddled with mistakes. Yeah, I found out that later. Of course, there were none because I had done what I needed to do and gotten sufficient help to make sure it was appropriate and what it should be when you're presenting. Because you're representing God. You're supposed to represent him as the best, and there's nothing wrong with that. Contrary to what I've been told, maybe you've been told differently, humility does not mean you don't present the best. Humility means you give glory to God. But you are to be the best in your field, in your area, and what you represent. So I was told by the Lord that morning, I was being coached for some of the language things that I was doing. And so in my coaching, the Lord said, he is going to come to your to the studio where you're being coached today. But the Lord told me, do not be intimidated by him, because you are mine. And you didn't ask for this contract. They called you and offered you the contract. So the Lord said, he's going to come, and here's what I want you to tell him. So I'm in the studio and being coached in the language aspect. And so I hear these footsteps coming, and I said to my coach, I said, oh, that's Dr. So-and-so. He's going to show up by surprise, but that's him. And she looked at me, because obviously I can't see through doors, and neither can she. And I knock on the door. We open the door, and it's him. And he said, surprise, surprise, you didn't know that I was coming. I said, oh, yes, I did. I knew you were coming. He looked at me and said, there's no way you know. I said, but I did. And she looked at him, and she, because she knew me, she said, God talks to her, and he told her. He said, I knew there was something crazy about you, and now I know what it is. But God will keep you, and that is the point. When you trust in God and with your heavenly host and hear him, what he does is eliminate your fears. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. See, fear hath torment. And it said, God is love, and perfect love cast out fears. God took away the fear of the intimidation of who this man was and how unruly he acts. I mean, he had the worst reputation. No one liked him. He and I said, Lord, I give him a clean slate. That's their relationship. We're going to establish our relationship based on what you're doing for me. And we got along marvelously. He would design his content after we integrated the first time for his symphonies. He'd say, hey, we're playing here. Would you like to sing this? Or you be free for this? I mean, he was intrigued. Never had done any other kind of music besides classical music. He didn't respect any other kind of music. Never had an African-American. Just so many things that were new for him. And the Lord allowed me to find favor in his heart. And we just got along marvelously. But when you call on God and he has his heavenly host out there, I'm like, go before me. Flap those wings, clear that air, and move that fear out of me and out of them so that we can communicate. So now the scripture that I chose was from 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, starting with the 15th verse. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city. The servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do? Now, here is what's going on here. Elisha was a prophet of the Lord. And he spoke the truth, and he spoke what God said. Well, the king didn't like what Elisha was doing because he was undeceitful. Whatever the king did, the word of the Lord would come, and the king, you know, would meet with defeat. So he said, well, I can solve this problem. Easy. I'm sending out an entire host of chariots and horses and men, and we're going to take Elijah down. We're getting rid of him. So this is where the story starts that I'm reading, but that's what happened prior to that. So that's why he looked out and he saw the, behold, a host compassed the city all around with horses and chariots. And the servant has fear. He says, there's you and there's me. What are we going to do? And Elijah answered, said, fear not. That's the element. Man, you cannot move without fear. Because fear has torment. God didn't make our bodies equipped. We don't handle fear, stress. We get sick. Studies used to be out that 87% of all diseases were based on stress. Well, update. Now the research shows 100% because we shut down the oxygenation to ourselves. This gets deformed. This doesn't get to move here. It's like if you have a train and you go boop and you knock one train off the railroad track. Well, it messes with all the other trains behind that, all the cabooses or whatever you would say properly. It throws everything off. And if one thing is off, another thing is off. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. God made us. He made us in our image. We were made to work perfectly. Then Adam sinned, threw a train off the track, like he threw like a whole line of trains off the track. And so we're constantly having to get things in alignment. But God came and wrapped himself in flesh, went to the cross, shed his blood, died, went to hell, got the keys to life and death, and went to heaven, came out and sent his spirit. We're back on track if you want to be. If you want to be on track, you can be. And it's a matter of lining up with the Spirit of God and allowing God to speak to you. So here's what Elijah says. Fear not. He wasn't sweating. You know what he said? He says, for they that be with us are more than they that be with him. Well, who is the they? Ooh, hallelujah. God and his entire heavenly host. One angel can wipe out thousands and thousands and thousands. One. We have a host. Hallelujah. Of angels. When I'm in the airplane, I'm like, angels dispatch, come underneath the wings, the head and the tail, and make sure we get where we need to go. Hello. He said, more are with us than they that are with them. 17th verse. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. Excuse me. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Can't touch this. Can't, when the blessing is on you from the Lord, you cannot be touched. When the blessing of the Lord, when you've been washed in his name, all your sins have been washed, and this is how God made a way for us now in this dispensation, that we are baptized in his name. And there's no other power given among men that can wash away sins except for the name of Jesus. He says, all power is in my name. The scriptures are clear. Now, you could be of other persuasions and whatever, but you better read the book. And if you don't have reading skills, have somebody read it to you. But you better know what's in the book, because when you stand before him, you will be accountable for not having obeyed the word of God. But now, he says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I didn't write that, Acts 2:38, but it's in there. Better make sure you're out here. Don't make excuses. Just, how do you excuse yourself from the word of God? People do it all the time. Well, I don't believe it's necessary. Well, God bless you. Then you don't believe God. He is his word. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. So he did that, and then he sent his spirit to fill us, to lead us, and to guide, to put us back on the railroad track and have all our cabooses running, have all the train correctly. That's how he wants us to roll with him. He said, greater. And then the young man's eyes opened, and he could see that he was surrounded, and he was protected, and he was kept. And that's how we are. Ask God to surround you and encamp you with his heavenly host for greater. There are more of them than there are anybody in the world, 7 billion people. There's more. So much. I think I read on CNN the other day a little thing that said that they just discovered just now, and that's what men do, is discovered. They don't create. 7 other planets the size of Earth. God has, the Earth is so small in the universe comparative to what God has created. Earlier this year, they said that they found another planet, solar system, something. I don't have it correct, but this planet is shooting its leftovers. It shoots off diamonds. It's just because they've got these technical telescopes now that can see more. It said it shoots off diamonds. I mean, that's just this overflow. That's how great our God is. And we sit here with our little minute minds and our little minute things and not allow God to help us. Simply because we don't ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. And I say, we ask not because we don't believe, because we have fear. And we don't understand how. We don't. He didn't ask us to understand. He said, just believe me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. This is what God wants us to do. And he came down to him, and he prayed to the Lord, and he says, I might smite this people. 18. And when he came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of the Lord. And Elijah said to them, this is not the way, neither in this city. Follow me, and I will bring you this man whom you will see. So let's go back to that. So this was Elijah's request, that he smite them with blindness, the whole host that was there against them. And that's what God did. And the whole host could not see, and they were totally protected. But you have to ask. Elijah prayed, and that was his request, and God honored his request. Know that the Lord your God is strong and mighty in battle. And there's nothing, nothing, nothing that he cannot and will not do. Let God's heavenly host work for you. When we work and worry, God doesn't move. When we give it to him and we go into rest, then God can move. Know that he wants you to walk in him. He wants you to walk knowing that one shall conquer 1,000 and 2 10,000. Walk being completely covered from head to toe. Walk with his helmet of salvation. Walk. Know that God is for you. And when he's for you, nothing, nothing shall be against you. No weapon formed, no weapon can conquer. Be blessed in Jesus' name.